You know, I was chatting with Brother Matimbe, and I told him, will you share your testimony, your life-death experience testimony? And I really want us to hear this testimony then. I want us to go into a certain prayer, but before we go into that, I would really love for Brother Matimbe, you know, to share this testimony. And why I want him to share this testimony is because I want you to realize the importance of you being alive right now and you being in this place right now. It's not by chance. As long as you are breathing and you made it for this convention, I believe God foresaw this coming. But whether you will receive that which God has prepared for you, it's quite another thing. It depends on your attitude. As you walk through this door, your attitude determines a lot of things. If you walk in here wanting to look out for mistakes, wanting to look out for where you are doing better and where another person is not doing any better, that attitude will only minus from whatever you are supposed to receive. But if you have an attitude and say, Lord, what would you have me hear? What help me, Lord? Let me hear that which will help me draw closer to you. Then believe me, you, with the right expectation, God won't disappoint you. You will receive that which he has prepared for you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'll invite Pastor Matimbe. And by the way, we'll have formal introductions in the main service in the evening. Right now, fellowship will go on as we are doing it. Pastor Matimbe, please come forward. Praise the Lord. Pastor Albert Matimbe is from Zimbabwe, for those who do not know him.
Amen.
Very wonderful friend.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Go ahead, sir. Amen. Yeah, sure.
So that I can get there judged.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless my brother.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I give you the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My pleasure to be this afternoon, and also to be given this opportunity to say some few words or to speak before you. By God's grace, you are my good friends. I'm part of you, and we thank God that he has linked us to be in that sweet family of the living God. It's not by mistake that you and me are here, but it takes God's grace. Amen. There are some and many who would have been here, who would have desired to be here, but they could not make it. So God foreordained this day before the foundation of the world. And our brother here, Pastor Andrew Piri, as he was narrating on how the daily devotions came into being, I went back to the memory lane. The very first few days when he wanted to launch this daily devotion, and he wrote me, he said, Brother Matimbe, I'm inspired to have this program. And I said, it's a very good program. It's a very, very good program. Wonderful program. And, well, I brought him to remembrance of what transpired in 2018. We were in a convention in Conception, and a number of ministers here attended that convention. And there were two brothers that saw vision or that prophesied about the revival they saw coming from Southern Africa. And I'll not hesitate or be ashamed to mention these two brethren. One was Brother Mark Davis. He's a citizen of this country, but I'm sure he's now based in UK. He wrote me that he migrated to UK. And he said, I've seen a revival being ignited in Southern Africa. And also there was Brother Charles Obon from Uganda. He was there also. He saw a vision of things of this nature. So when we see ourselves doing what we are doing or being part of what is going on, God is working amongst us world over. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. God is not limited into using anyone. He's not limited because of your skin color. He's not limited because of your geographical origin. He's not limited as to whether you are wealthy or not wealthy. In fact, he uses even the weakest vessels. Those are the vessels whom God uses. And if God has given you grace to use you in any manner, no matter who, we appreciate you for that. And it pleases God to use a human being. And you are the human being. Lest I be tempted to preach. So I overcome such temptation. Praise God. But however, before I give you a testimony, as requested by my good friend here, Brother Andrew Piri, whom I've known for years, is a very good friend. Allow me to read a scripture from the book of Psalms, chapter 115, verse 17. And the scripture reads, Psalms 115, verse 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is what King David says. He says, the dead praise near the Lord. So the opportunity for you to serve the Lord is when you are alive, as you are.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
In his opening remarks, he said we should not be overtaken by the demon of shyness and to try to be too dignitary for nothing. If you can jump, if you can shout hallelujah, if you can do anything for the sake of the Lord, do so. And I'm glad that we are not in a mortuary anyway. Very good. So now, David realizing the importance of him being alive, he penned down that statement. He said, the dead shall not praise the Lord. Of course, yes. So if you are alive, praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you are alive, my brother, preach the gospel.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And even the messenger of the Laodicean church age says, when you are preaching a message, preach as if it is the last chance you have been given to preach, and to the person who will listen to the last message in his lifetime. So if you are going to sing a song, sing as if this is the last chance you have been given on planet Earth.
Amen.
There are many that are in the cemetery as we are talking now, in the grass. Yeah. On the 27th of May, 2005, there was a fatal accident which happened, which took place in a place called Christiansand, about 27 kilometers from the capital city, Harare. I was going for church service to conversation in evening church service. And you know what happened? I was in a public, in a minibus, and that minibus was hit from behind by a holy truck. How did it take place? It was on a cave, and as we were going in the northern direction towards Conception, right there was another holy truck which was broken down. So the driver of that vehicle was making signals. He had gone out to make signals to the traffic coming from Harare side going to the north, and those that were coming from the north going to the Harare side, so that if only one vehicle at a time could negotiate its way on that particular spot. And as we reached that spot, we were made to stop there to give way to those that were coming from the northern direction. Unknown to us and behind us, there was a cave there. A holy truck was coming in full swing. It never had an opportunity for the driver to apply brakes, but only we had a big bang from behind, and we found ourselves in an accident. Our minibus was thrown up there, rested on another oncoming vehicle, pushed on top of that haulage truck, and our minibus was rolling like this. People were being thrown out of that minibus through the windows. And me, I was seated just behind the driver. I had some rubbers that were so protecting me. I felt the rubbers protecting me. And when people were being thrown out of the minibus, and you could see this head being separated from the whole body of the people that I was sitting close to or next to in the same vehicle. And guess what? Our minibus was thrown and hit against a huge tree, squashed half of it. And 8 people died on the spot, 11 seriously injured. For me, I was not hurt. But I delayed sneaking out of that wreckage. I was trying to look for my Bibles, my bag, which was loaded with Bibles, because I was going for an evening service. So that is the first thought that came into my mind. Where are my Bibles? Where are my bags? So then in that time, then I realized that when an impact of such happened, the vehicles can burst into flames. So I thought of getting out of the wreckage quickly, and then I sneaked out of the wreckage and went just some few meters away in the bush and started crying and praying and said, "Lord, have mercy on the people that I've left behind." Because the people that I left behind, they were crying because they were being trapped between the wreckages of that holy truck in the minibus I was in. So you could hear them crying, say, "Help me, please," in agony, groaning. And sometimes when I speak of this scenario, I go back to that place. It haunts me time and again. Fair enough, there's nothing I could do, because it needed maybe the people, the fire brigade people to come and cut those metals and wreckage to separate the people that have been, or to retrieve the bodies. That's how the Lord helped me to get out of that wreckage on 27th May 2005.
life.
However, I felt noble to link up these two testimonies, the one which my friend so much like or to hear. Perhaps he thinks that he may get into such an experience and will find out how I came out of that, and perhaps God will be gracious to him. Before the accident happened, I had a dream. A week before, I was walking in a cemetery, you know. See me walking in a cemetery. Then I asked the caretaker and said, I see I'm in a cemetery, I can see fresh graves here. Where am I? Where are we here? He says, you've come to the Hero's Acre. You are in a Hero's Acre. And I asked them, where are the non-heroes buried? He said, there. So that's the caretaker of the cemetery. So brethren, just know that I'm already a hero. I was told that I was in a Hero's Acre. Praise God, by the caretaker, those who man the cemetery. The first person I told after that dream was my elder brother. Fair enough, let me finish on this part. And now that caretaker was smiling at me. And then he held my hand and led me out of that cemetery. Because that cemetery was surrounded by a juro, you know. So there was a portion which had broken down panels. And he led me out of that cemetery through a portion which he had broken down panels. I went out of the cemetery. When I went out of the cemetery, then I got out of the dream. And those of you who are good at interpreting things, you realize that I went out of that wreckage through a broken window. I sneaked out of that minivan. So this is the fulfillment of what I saw in the dream prior to the accident. So I say, my elder brother, Pastor Absalom Matimbe, you preached in his church the time you came to Zimbabwe, Pastor Hubert D'Souza. Pastor Absalom came to my house during that time when I had a dream the following day. I said, brother, before you do anything, sit down. I've got a dream that I came up with last night. I was walking like this. I narrated the whole dream. And I told him, I've got a meaning of this already. Don't try to tell me my days are numbered. Because I saw myself in the grave. Now it means that I'm going in the cemetery. Now, I want to share my inheritance. My two sons, by then, I had two sons. This son, you give him that other property. This the other one, you give him that other property. And my wife, give him that other, that property. But don't tell my wife these things that I've told you. Goodbye. And my brother Absalom and his friend in my office there, I used to stay in Glenview, 1 Harare. And then they knelt down, they prayed, they said, Lord, we have heard your servant. He says he's going, but you have mercy upon him, his life. So I thank God that my friend and my brother prayed, although me I said goodbye, but the Lord had them, and I escaped that fatal accident. Amen. See what I'm saying? There are many more experiences that I can share with you, but now zeroing in on this other one, which I said my friend wants to know, to hear, and many of you also, for the sake of those who might have not heard that. On the following year, 2005 is when I escaped the accident. 2006 in October, I got seriously ill. Seriously ill one particular night, and I vomited a lot of blood. Then I passed on. My wife was there. My young sister who comes after me, the last in our family, was there, and her husband beside me. But they could not stop the dying process which was taking place on me. So when you are dying, brothers, for those that are going to die, I don't know when. I don't know, any day you could go. But in most cases, when I say it, people, when I tell people, I say to them, I know you, the days that you are going to die. I look at you, I can say you are going such a day. And many people wonder, brother, tell us, when is it that we are going? Okay, but I will tell you now, you look at the calendar, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One of those days you are going. See, one of those days you are going. So I know the day when you are going. Don't consider me a witch. When you get out, you say, ah, that pastor was saying he knows the day I will be dying. You will have the dates just in front of you. A calendar tells you the day of your demise is right in front of you. It can be like today or tomorrow or on a Sunday. So now I went out of this body. The process of death is not painful. You feel as you are just getting asleep and you are going. But you'll be conscious that things are happening. That's why, you know, when one is dying, he may say, you call my wife here. Call my children. I have something to say. That means if you are given that chance anyway, to say, I'm going, this, that. And others also are given opportunity to confess their sin before they move away. So I went. Just like that. But the good part of it is that when I was in the dimension of the dead, I realized talking to the Lord, the Creator. And I said, Lord, I know I'm dead, but if you can allow me to go back and have life on planet 8, I'll do your work. And I heard an audible voice from him say, are you really going to do my work when you leave again? And after that conversation, I came back to life. That was in October. And you know, this testimony that I'm sharing with you, I've said it in Radio Zimbabwe. I've been preaching with Radio Zimbabwe from 2014 to 2016 on the national radio. And most of these testimonies that I've come across in life or incidences and experiences, they are in the archives of my country, Zimbabwe. And many countries that, of course, I've gone preaching. So this is truth that death is real. One day you say goodbye to planet Earth. The Lord should help me to fulfill my vow. Amen. Those of you who are Bible readers or Bible students, Numbers 30, verse 1 and 2 says, if you've made a vow to the Lord, you have to fulfill it. Amen. Brethren, what I promised the Lord that I will save him, I'm doing my best. Help me. Don't be angry with me, even perhaps if I may take longer here. Taking your time. I'm living under oath, and of course on a borrowed time. Brethren, my fellow ministers, we have lost quite a number of our good friends in East Africa, good friends here in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, so to speak. In Europe, those ministers that I've rubbed shoulders with, we have even shared the pulpits. Many of them. But you and me, we are still alive. And that is God's grace. So, having said this, brother, if you've got time and opportunity to express your joy and love to see me alive, do the very best. Because me, I'm living on a borrowed time. It is now 18 years after I resurrected. Hezekiah was given 15 years. For me, I've surpassed the one who is written about in the Bible. I'm now 18 years on the borrowed time. I don't know when I will call it a day or call it the life on and say goodbye to planet Earth. Yeah, well, I have to share with you. I received a message from home that one of the elders has passed on last night. Just last week before I came to Zambia, I was with him. He bought me some drinks and we're moving around. He's the one who helped the church there in their remote areas to get land from the community leaders. He was with me, and you know, I didn't know that that was a goodbye. So perhaps I will not finish the conversation with you. There's need for me to go back to Zimbabwe to bury that brother. Don't put me in the wrong bracket where you'd say let the dead bury their dead ones. No, there is a scripture which says you should do rejoice with those who are rejoicing, of which I've done the first part, rejoicing with you. And when it comes to the second part of mourning with the mourners, then I have to go back to Zimbabwe and mourn with those that are mourning. To give a big send-off to a brother called Misha Kibanda. Praise God. I know, I can sing. Thank you very much. This is what the testimony of how I came back to life is all about. I will sing two songs and I hand over. Very good. For the sake of those that would understand English, let me sing this chorus here. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. To stand on your feet. Praise God. Appreciate God in prayer. Amen. Wherever you are, thank God for the gift of life that has given you. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this hour of the day that you have given us, Lord Jesus, even this opportunity to be alive for God. As has been said by King David, the dead praise not the Lord, but those that are living. As for us, we shall praise the Lord now henceforth. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege of being a
that you can use in this end time for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel. And here we are, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the time and opportunity you have indeed given us, Lord, and that you can testify with our own mouth that you are God who is gracious. Lord, you are rich in mercy. You are able to give us life, Lord. You are the life giver. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even so, for the life that you gave me and for the period that you gave me, even to live on planet Earth. Let our lives be a blessing, Lord, as we are seen moving from day one to day two until our life is over on planet Earth. With thanksgiving, we glorify your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, my brother. I end over. God bless you. Oh, thank you.
You may be seated, sons. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Let me read this a favorite poem. It's called The Psalm of Life. Brother Branham used to love it.
Amen.
It strikes a chord with what Pastor Matimbe is from sharing. And by the way, this evening, Pastor Matimbe is bringing the word, and you'll hear more. Amen.
Amen.
Now, listen to this, and let this sink in. Meditate on these words. Brother Branham used to love this poem. It was written by Mr. Henry Longfellow. Tell me not, in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. In other words, don't tell me that life is an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. I'll read that again. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. So our end is not the grave. Whatever we do, whether in business, your employment, whatever you do in life, I pray, I hope it adds something which will have eternal value. Listen to the third verse. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way. So it's not about enjoyment. Again, it's not about sorrow. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us further than today. Yeah. So at the end of this meeting, tomorrow, I want to be a different person through what I'm hearing. I pray, I hope, even as we're listening to Brother Matimbe, it brings that awareness in you that, hey, you could die when that day comes. The thing is not that you've died. The thing is, what did you use of the resource of life that God gave you? Because life is alone. Life is alone. And it needs to have returns on the one who invested it in you. Yeah, he's a serious businessman. He wants returns on investment. He deposits life in you. What are his returns? Now listen, this is my favorite portion. Art is long, and time is fleeting. Right now, every ticking of a second is a piece of your life coming out of you. The process is very slow, so slow you can't detect it. But every beating of your heart, do you know that when you buy a brand new phone, well packaged, the moment you connect, you plug in and you start using, every interaction, it is wearing out. If you've charged it to 100% and your battery shows 100%, Even when you leave it here and you are not doing any activity, the battery life is still depleting. Those are laws of physics. So right now, as you are listening to this, you need to know there is a serious busy factory inside you. If we could attach a cable and we connected it to the amplifier and you heard the sound of how busy your factory is, you'd be scared of yourself. The heart is pumping, blood is flowing, and all that to make your whole system and mechanism to work for you to be alive. The question is, to what end, to what purpose? For you to work, for you to have a good life, for you to just have a family? No, your manufacturer had a greater purpose. Now, art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still, like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. I'll read that again. Let it sink in. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, that heart you have inside you, though they look stout and brave, you don't even mind when you wake up whether your heart is working right or not. I mean, we get so used to these things, and we're quite natural. But when you think so deeply about it, everything about you is supernatural. It's because you see it every day, and we call it natural. But everything that holds you together is the power of God. So your heart is beating every day. It's from the day you were born, it's been pumping. It was not made in China. It has no spare part. It keeps pumping. It keeps pumping. Now, this psalmist, this man says, every beating of the heart. Jason, is Jason here? Can you go on your drums? I want you to start beating it. Quickly, run. I want you to know, inside you there is also the drum, like the one that's beating. Just start hitting it. Do. Do. That's how your heart is beating. You know what it is doing? It is pushing blood. You know what is in that blood? Hey, come on, come on. My heart, your heart doesn't slow down the way he did. It's beating. Your blood is being pushed. What is in that blood? Life is in there. Life is in there. As you are working, as you are sweeping in your house, you may take it for granted, but behind all these muscles and all that, it's pumping. It is producing music. What is the music? No, it is not rock and roll. It is like soldiers are marching. You are a soldier, you are marching. Where are you going? To your grave. Thank you, my brother. I don't know how many beats your heart will hit, but God measured it. When that day comes, I don't care how healthy you eat. I don't care how good you are. When that day comes, it will never beat an extra beat unless he permits it by his grace. But he has set a limit by which you should live. That limit between the here, when you gave your first breath, and wherever you have to finish your race, there is a purpose which you have to fulfill. But time does not stand still to wait for you to fulfill that purpose. You can waste time by being idle, by throwing yourself in non-productive activities. Time won't wait. It is still beating. It is still beating. And this man says, like muffled drums, like what you were hearing, our hearts are beating. What are they beating? What music are they producing? Funeral marches to the grave. The sound of your heart is a count. Whenever you are counting, it means there's an end, there's an objective somewhere. Beating is a measure of time. So your heart is beating, is beating, is beating. Where is it beating? There is a limit. There's an end somewhere. Well, by God's grace, we can only hope the rapture will be there, but we can't tell. That is not in our hands. Listen, the fourth verse. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb, driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. There's no one here who can say you don't have a problem. Life, from the time our first parents fell in the Garden of Eden, is a struggle. We strive. We fight. But as you are fighting in this life, don't be like a dumb-driven cattle, which just goes in the direction where life is beating it. You move in the direction where life is tossing you to and fro. No, 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 no. There's a spirit God has put within you, which should rise above those things. As you are fighting as a soldier, know you are a child of God. There is no second person in here who has the same fingerprint like you have. God has put a unique signature on you. Why? You have a unique assignment. You have a unique assignment. We are coming together here to encourage one another, for the Spirit of God to admonish us as we fulfill our life's purpose. Now he says, I love this. Trust no future. Everyone said, trust no future. Don't even trust tomorrow. So I'll be found on the second day of the commission. Don't trust the future so much, because God has a secret diary. No one knows it. Not even the prophet to this age knew that God would call him on that very day in such a manner. He has kept it. Even when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, when are you coming? He says, that's my Father's business. Trust no future. To say, no, one day I'll be better. One day I'll be spiritual. One day this and that shall happen. One day the bride is going to be perfect. If there's one thing believers we have, we love talking stories of what will happen in the future. Suppose it is not part of your future to test the rapture. You would have sat down trying to study how the rapture will be, forgetting what you are supposed to do in the present time. Don't put so much trust in the future. It could be the present time is what has been allocated to you. You may not live to see the rapture. Therefore, treat the present. Guard it jealously. Do what you ought to do. You know, Brother Matimbe says he's living on borrowed time. I've seen that in his life. He never rests. If right now we go with him by some supermarket day, if I tell him, Brother Matimbe, stay in the vehicle, I'll be coming. Brother Kashala, tell me what will happen.
We'll start sharing the word of God. That's right.
I wanted him to finish it for you to know I'm telling the truth. If you're with Brother Matimbe, you go to the supermarket and you say, oh, just wait here. You find there will be another person he's speaking to there, telling them about Jesus Christ. Every now and then he always sends me numbers. I've spoken to this and that one and that one. Please, can you visit them? They want to come to church. The last convention when I was in Norway, Brother Stroman said, you know, Brother Matimbe, I think, is in borrowed time. He lives every day as though it's the last day of his life. And we were laughing. I said, yeah, that is very true. You may not need to have an experience like Brother Matimbe had, but he has given you an assurance that even you are dying. All of us will die. All of us will go back to the dust if the Lord tarries. It's not a question of whether it will happen. It's a question of when it will happen, right? Now, trust no future, however pleasant. Some of you are in tip-top condition in terms of health. You feel everything is strong and all that, and you really feel all is good. Another person may be having a health issue. Do not think you, who has good health, you think God loves you more than the other person. No. The next time you go to the hospital and you see someone sick and maybe they're dying and all that, that could be just a picture of you tomorrow. Remember, Elisha was a great prophet. He did miracles, double portion anointing of that which Elijah had. But he died until the sickness took him. You know that is in the scripture? That does not mean God abandoned him. Yeah. We have an assignment on this earth. When it is done, we'll put off our work suit. How our work suit will be thrown away, I don't know how. But be mindful of the present. What are you doing about the present? Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act Act in the living present, heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. You hear Brother Branham loving this statement. He loved this poem. Okay? Footprints on the sands of time. There are men who've lived, walked through as great men of faith and all that. There's something to learn about them. If there are elderly people here, there's something we need to learn from you. Leaving footprints on the sands of time. The question is, what story are you leaving behind? Every print you are leaving, what story is it making? Footprints that perhaps another sailing over life's solemn men, a fallen and shipwrecked brother, sing shall take heart again. May your life minister inspiration to another that if that brother was able to overcome, I can overcome. May it be a light that can put a flame on another brother. And it is my prayer that through this convention, it will be like one flame putting a flame on another, until by the last day of the convention, it will be a big flame of revival. Brother Matimbe has just ignited something in us. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate. With a heart for any fate. Still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. May this be our testimony, brethren. May this be our prayer. Are you expectant during this convention? I'm so expectant. Amen. Shall we stand? We're going to take this time to pray for our convention. Let us pray for the men of God. But I want you to pray for yourself, and I want you to pray for another person in here. Let us pray to God. We don't want this to be a meeting of just meeting acquaintances. We don't want it to be a meeting like we have it. We have the truth. Let it be a meeting of broken, contrite hearts seeking the face of the Lord. Say, Lord, we can see your coming is near. But we search and check ourselves. Do we have that which you desire in us? Let us do an introspection and say, Lord, hold my hand. Move me to walk much closer to you. When the Lord spoke to Brother Branham, he says, if you will be sincere, not even cancer will stand before you. Just sincerity itself is a weapon in itself for victory. For victory. And when we go before God, I want you to be free. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about this environment. Think about your life. Pray that, Lord, speak to me, even as we'll be having the evening service today. Speak into my heart. I don't want to have prejudice in my mind. I don't want to have to fall into a familiarity trap. I want to be like the psalmist who prayed, teach us to number our days. Because when you don't have the sense of numbering, you become very wasteful in your time. So he says, teach me to number my days. Meaning every time I'm conscious, the moment you want to procrastinate, say, oh, I want to get closer to God. I want to go in a time of prayer. I'll do it some other time. May God deliver us from that habit of procrastination. We shouldn't trust the future. The Lord could be bidding and knocking on your heart. And I believe there's a purpose why you are in this convention. Let us speak to the Lord.